Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. He's Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com, the place to get your latest and greatest Steelers information. I'm David Todd of ESPN Pittsburgh and the Steelers Radio Network. It's Season 6, Episode 71, and we are just about less than 36 hours away from kickoff as the Steelers get ready to take on the Cincinnati Bengals in the wild card playoff round, an 8:15 kickoff at Paul Brown Stadium on Saturday night. Let me open with an apology to Mean Joe Green, as growing up, one of the great things in Steeler lore is that they didn't retire jerseys. And number 70, our last episode, I mentioned Ernie Stotner, the only uniform jersey number retired in Steeler history. And of course, last year on a night game against the Baltimore Ravens, I can't remember if it was a Thursday or a Sunday or a Monday, but I happened to be in attendance and I watched the announcement up when they did it in the preseason. I think it was up at St. Vincent College, and then the game retiring Joe Green's jersey, the second in Steeler history. So a little bit of a brain cramp by me, with apologies to Mean Joe. So 70, and we'll have a chance next week, or the week after next, I guess, in episode 75, to acknowledge Joe's jersey retirement again. But Dave, here we go. Bengals week, round number 3, World War 3, if you will. These two teams don't like each other, and maybe even more so than the longtime Steelers-Ravens rivalry. One of the things about that, there seemed to be a level of mutual respect that maybe we haven't really seen between these two teams this year.
Yeah, absolutely. It's pretty much Vontaze Burfict is leading the way again this week. He hasn't had much to say to the media outside of just basically saying, "I hate Pittsburgh." Yeah. So, yeah, ditto. The other way around, I'm sure it is. And this is a guy that there hasn't been as many war of words, if you will. I haven't really seen this week. I think these teams are just gearing up and wanting to settle it on a field. And that field might include a lot of rain on it as well, too.
All right. We're talking about half an inch of rain. The good thing is temperatures will be totally fine for those guys, the guys playing the game, low 40s. I mean, that's comfortable football weather. So not a big deal, but a wet track. And you never know how those types of things are going to impact things. It's going to be a bit windy, but this is – I don't think anybody who was going to be playing in this game is going to have any issue with the weather. They've played in all types of environments, and this doesn't look like it'll be anything extreme. Certainly nothing like we're going to see the following game, which will be in Minnesota in the middle of the morning, basically. I think a noon or an 11 a.m. kickoff there. I can't remember what time the kickoff is, but that's supposed to be below zero, and that's in Fahrenheit in terms of what the temperature is going to be, and then add the wind chill, and it's going to be miserable up there.
And talking about rain and Ben Roethlisberger, I pulled these stats back up. David, you realize it had the Steelers really haven't played in rainy conditions since, or snow for that matter, since 2013. Now there was the regular season opener against the New England Patriots in Foxborough this year. It seems like there was a few raindrops. I think most of that rain had cleared out prior to that game. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't remember it being inclement weather in that game. So I don't know if it's global warming or what, but no snow games really this year, right?
Yeah, no. This is something I'm very aware of because we do the pregame show outside, so I'm conscious of what the weather's like for these games. And I do know the Steelers had home games all the way right up till their last home game against Denver, where it was a little bit chilly, but I mean, they had unbelievable weather at Heinz Field this year for the games that they played. I mean, the coldest ones were the ones early in the season when they were playing late in the season in November and December. We were talking, 55 degrees and sunny when they were playing in the afternoon. I mean, it was fantastic. And we thought we might have a little bit of not good weather in Cleveland for that last game, but that actually turned out to just be a little bit chilly, right?
Yeah, from I think they talked a little bit about maybe some sleet pellets or something maybe ahead of the game. I'm trying to remember if that was if that might have actually been in Buffalo. I don't remember.
Right, I thought we were going to have terrible weather in Buffalo. I think in that Steeler game we had snow in the second half for a little while, right? Remember, we saw a little bit of snow, but that dissipated pretty quickly.
Yeah, probably melted by the time it hit the ground there. But, Ben Roethlisberger, David, in addition to him being a bad mutter, he's a good mutter. During his career, the Steelers are 16-4 in games that included, what I would call inclement weather that Roethlisberger has started. And in fact, Roethlisberger has a career quarterback rating, if you buy into that number, of 91.7 in those games, being 20 of them, and averaged nearly 7 yards per pass attempt on his way to completing 62.1% of his passes. So this is a guy with plenty of experience playing in all kinds of conditions. And on the other side, at quarterback for the Bengals, you have A.J. McCarron, who played in the SEC. And yes, there's a lot of rain, at times, in the South, especially during the early, early portions of football season. But, look, I think this might be a bigger deal for A.J. McCarron than it will be Ben Roethlisberger. And, we'll see how much the wind and how hard the rain actually is in this game. But this could wind up being an issue for him. And I think really, the running games, you wouldn't think that it would be overly affected on a wet track. But, if you're unable to throw the ball due to windy conditions, especially deep, I mean, look, we talked about it already, right? McCarron throws a pretty nice deep ball, and if you're able to take that away from him, or if the weather is able to kind of take that away from him and some of his accuracy, you have to think of, that's kind of a plus for the Steelers, because we all know, we talked already about, we don't expect the Steelers to go deep very often in this game.
No, and that's going to be interesting. It is the thing that I've been talking about all week. You were a guest on my show on Wednesday. We talked about it. The coordinator battles, the four coordinators, how they match up against each other is going to be the most interesting thing about this. Both teams are coming in relatively healthy with one huge injury. Clearly, it looks like, Ian Rappaport reported this morning that he thinks D'Angelo Williams will be out for this game. Jerry Dulac was on my show yesterday. He doesn't think D'Angelo is going to play. So there seems to be some consensus building. We'll see what the Friday injury report brings. And obviously, Dalton's certainly not going to start in this game, and I doubt kind of he'll even dress. So both teams shorthanded in that respect, but otherwise coming in relatively healthy. And, we went through a lot of this on the Wednesday podcast, but it is fascinating, the game plan that each team is going to use. And I think, Dave, I know you guys have written some articles about what the Steelers have done, their blitzing tendency over the course of the year, and then most interestingly, what they did the past 2 weeks with no success in Baltimore, great success in Cleveland. You've got a young quarterback in McCarron. And then on the Bengals side, kind of what they like to do with their cover two shell with rushing four guys. And then offensively, are they going to be willing to throw the ball down the field with McCarron? He had an injured wrist last week, never threw it down the field. In fact, they didn't convert a third down in the game last week against Baltimore. I think they were 0-for-8. So I think the intellectual aspect of this game is going to be fascinating to watch, the chess match, or if you will, or just the schematics from all four units.
And I'd like to go back over some stats that I rattled off to you on your show, Dave, when I joined you. When was it? Yesterday or
Wednesday?
Wednesday? But where the days gone? In the two regular season meetings between the Steelers and the Bengals, Roethlisberger was 5 of 18 passing for 105 yards with no touchdowns and four interceptions on throws that traveled more than 15 yards down the field. Now, when you look at this Bengals defense as a whole throughout the season, when defending the deep pass, only 38 of 110 deep pass attempts have found their mark against the Bengals this year. 38 of 110. And to tell you, I kind of dug into those numbers a little deeper. Only 28 of those 38 receptions were caught by wide receivers. So 28 divided by 16, take your shoes off. You know, that's less than two a game, right?
Yeah.
And additionally, the Bengals have recorded 15 of their 21 interceptions this season off of deep pass attempts. So, yes, Roethlisberger will probably throw deep in this game, like we mentioned, four or five times. You almost have to when you get a matchup out there. You've got to try to take shots down the field. And I don't know. I mean, are we going to be able to circle the deep completions in this game Saturday night and say, wow, that, you know, 40-yard completion to Martavis Bryant, or, you know, that 60-yard completion to A.J. Green, what a difference this game, you know, what a difference it made in this game, being as how expecting, I don't know about you, maybe a low-scoring game again this time around.
I don't have a great answer to that in terms of low-scoring or high-scoring. Obviously, game one was low-scoring. Game two was more along the lines of high-scoring. I'm kind of leaning that the Steelers need 27 points to win this game. To, you know, that's going to be enough to guarantee a victory. I go with what you said, I think, on Wednesday, and I like the ideas. You can't abandon going deep. And if the Bengals are going to show you looks at times on third and shorts, which is where it's happened with other teams in the league and with the Bengals, if they're going to, you know, give you man coverage on the outside, and that's the only time you're going to get it, then, you know, they're going to dare you to do it. And then we've seen the Steelers do it. So I wouldn't be abandoning it. Like I said on Wednesday, it wouldn't shock me if on the very first play of the game, the Steelers came out, ran some play action and took a shot deep. You know, and I'm talking really a deep ball, throw it 40, 45 yards, 50 yards down the field. So if something bad happens, you know, you haven't given up really great field position. But they're going to have to take the middle of the field. the pop passes to Heath Miller, finding the zones in that middle of the field. I'd like to see some of those shallow crosses, if they can get AB free on that type of stuff. I expect them to pick a little bit on Dre Kirkpatrick. And then it'll be interesting to see how much Fitzgerald Toussaint or Jordan Taubman, if he gets snaps, can do out of the backfield, if they look for those guys, because I have to imagine that Cincinnati, that's going to be a lower priority, so maybe that's going to be there for the Steelers.
And, you know, when you take deep shots down the field, especially against a guy like Drake Kirkpatrick, perhaps you get a call. You know, perhaps he gets suckered on a double move or has to, you know, try to grasp. He leads the Bengals this year in penalties, David, with looks like 15. Two of them declined. And as you can imagine, let's see, illegal contact, defensive holding, illegal contact, defensive holding, defensive pass interference. Let's see, one, two, only three defensive pass interferences against him. And I know, look, you go back to that last Bengals game, he should have been called for being Martavis Bryant having to wear him as a coat in the end zone.
Yep.
One of those deep passes. He has, however, had, let's see, defensive holding, one, two, three, four, looks like five defensive holdings, and then mix in a couple of legal contacts with him as well, too. So, yeah, you know, that's another aspect that could play a big part in this game is taking a deep shot and maybe getting a call against Dre Kirkpatrick, because, I really don't think you want to challenge, you know, Pac-Man Jones, you know, that terribly much deep down the field. And we all know about Reggie Nelson and how he's almost become the new kryptonite for who was the old one? Mathis, right? The Jack?
Yeah.
Remember, for years it seemed like couldn't keep the ball away. Roethlisberger couldn't keep the ball away from him. It looks like Reggie Nelson's kind of stepped in to that spot. So they're a great team deep, and I will be surprised that the Steelers are able to connect with, you know, even three balls past 15 yards down, you know, past the line of scrimmage. It will definitely be interesting to see. I mean, look, I think they consider Fitzgerald Toussaint their guy, and as much as I like Jordan Taubman, that means absolutely nothing. So you would think maybe, I mean, how many touches we think Taubman? Four or five?
Yeah,
for Taubman?
I think I put the over-under at four.
And, I mean, I don't think you have to run good enough to keep him honest. But, you know, on the flip side, this game's going to be won or lost, I think, by Ben Roethlisberger, right?
Absolutely. And I'll throw A.J. McCarron's name in there, and I don't mean that to sound silly because we know the importance of quarterbacks in the league. But, Dave, I'll tell you my concern here and what I realized I was talking myself into all week long is because, and you mentioned it also on Monday or on Wednesday, look, we were both so impressed with McCarron. I was just so impressed with McCarron, what he did in that Steelers game. And remember, this is important, he did it without Tyler Eifert. And he's only had Tyler Eifert back last week. That's the first time Eifert's been back. Eifert, you know, everybody talks about Dalton going out in that game, but Tyler Eifert went out, got hit in the first series on the hit by Mitchell that, you know, maybe shouldn't have been flagged, but questionable hit. And he went out with a concussion shortly thereafter, after the drive ended. He didn't play the rest of that game. And we know the difficulty the Steelers have had with tight ends, and we know what a good player Eifert is. And so he's going to be back for this full game. And so during the course of the week, I think I have talked myself into that being such a big factor that maybe the Steelers were in trouble here. But I think I've been overstating what my in my own mind, kind of overthinking what A.J. McCarron can do in this game. I think I've built him up to be, you know, kind of Andy Dalton's regular season. And he's not that. He's played three games, started three games in his NFL career. Now, he's been on the big stage. He's played two national championship games. I don't expect him to be nervous. I think he'll handle it. I expect him to play well. But I expect Keith Butler, Mike Tomlin, whomever you want to, you know, give responsibility to, I expect them to come up with stuff that's not going to make it easy for McCarron. And I expect Ben to play well, too. And fact of the matter is, here's a very simple stat that Mark Caboli, our buddy from the Trib, looked up. Ben is 8-26 in his career when he throws 2+ INTs in a game. 8-26. So you get that? That's about a 25%, a little less than a 250 winning percentage over kind of, you know, 34 games. He's 106-31 when he throws 0 or 1 interceptions. And that's basically the complete reverse. That's about a 750 winning percentage. So, you know, we talk about simple stats. You know, I like the turnover stat as, you know, turnover differential. Give me that number. I'll tell you who won. But I think this game with the disparity in the two quarterbacks' experience, that very well could be simply just that'll give you the answer.
Yeah, yeah, but on the flip side, this is a Steelers defense that we're talking about that have made Ryan Mallett and some lesser.
Austin Davis to some degree early in that
game. Yeah. I mean, you know, if he had more time to prepare for that game, how would he have done? But, you know, look, make no mistake. There's, like it or not, A.J. McCarron is the guy with the most pressure on him, I think, in this game. He's looking to become the first quarterback to win a playoff game after making three or fewer starts since Gifford Nielsen.
Right. Houston, right?
Yeah, Houston Oilers in their road playoff victory over the San Diego Chargers in 1979. David, that game probably happened in what, 1980? Was it late 79?
I think it was an early round game, so it was the end of 79.
All right, so I was 11 and a half years old and smoking.
Well, I got to tell you, because yesterday was the anniversary of the Splashdown Sports Illustrated cover when the Steelers beat the Houston Oilers 34-5 in the AFC Championship game in January 79, but it was obviously the 78 season. They won that 34-5. I remember being at that game, and it was miserable, miserable, miserable. We had about 6 inches of water at our feet, and it was probably, you know, sleeting kind of weather right around freezing. And we sat there in kind of, you know, garbage bags and clear plastic things covering us. Me, my dad, my brother, and my sister. And finally, they were beating them so bad, my sister at the end of the third quarter asked if we could leave. And I'll tell you, it was with tears in my eyes that I got dragged out of Three Rivers Stadium. But the Steelers had absolutely kicked the living daylights out of the Oilers. Earl Campbell, 22 carries for 66 yards. I think Ham and Joe Green stuffed them behind the line of scrimmage a couple times. So that was that anniversary. Yesterday, we had some fun with that on the show. Today is the anniversary, 10-year anniversary of Kimo von Olhoffen hitting Carson Palmer in the knee in that playoff game, and the Bengals obviously haven't won one since, and Marvin Lewis 0-6 in that period of time.
Boy, you remember the days of getting that Sports Illustrated in the mail and there actually being a Steeler on the cover or your feature? That was good times. That kind of made the highlight for a month.
Yep.
You know, because obviously didn't have the internet and all like that, and outside of the swimsuit editions,
which were just starting back then.
Yeah, absolutely. And my mother almost made me cancel my subscription thanks to those. Good times indeed. Boy, how many years? 10-year anniversary of the Carson Palmer game.
Today,
right?
10-year anniversary. And, you know, obviously the rules have changed. I don't think Von Holofen got flagged on that play. And, in fact, Palmer completed that pass. Was it to Derrick Henry? I think it was to Derrick Henry.
You mean Chris Henry.
Chris Henry, right. Rest in peace. But the Steelers obviously came back and won the game. And since then, just a couple of stats. Marvin Lewis is 0-6 straight up and 0-6 against the spread in his career in the playoffs. And here's a recent one. The Bengals in primetime are 6-15 against the spread. Now, Steelers being, you know, a couple point favorites, the Bengals could cover and lose. So, you know, hopefully those two stats continue on their current trends.
What do you think? Do you think Steeler fans are going to try to take the, I mean, let's face it, some people probably need some post-Christmas money there in Cincinnati, right? You think they're going to be
well represented? Yeah, I would think so. I mean, I would bet, you know, that place holds, what, 65 or so, much like Heinz Field. I'd probably put it at 20%, at least 20% Steeler fans.
Yeah, if you're the Steelers, do you try to come out with more more up-tempo offense in this game? I mean, do you try to catch them on their heels, or does it even matter?
I'm all for it. I'm all for being aggressive, but I'm first and foremost, I'm all for Ben being smart.
And the only bad thing, of course, is the silent count and Camino. You're more apt to do something like that, I think, at home than you are on the road. So I probably wouldn't expect them to come out, you know, with hurry up. But you certainly would like to see them, kind of a la Tom Brady and the Patriots at times, definitely change up the tempo in this game. And if, you know, if there's one thing that we can criticize this Steelers team over the years is probably not doing that enough, right?
In terms of up-tempo?
Yeah, in giddy-up mode.
Well, what we want to see is if they struggle a little bit early, we want to see some no huddle, right?
Yeah, you want to do something to kind of up this tempo for sure. And I mean, look, Fitzgerald Toussaint, great story. And as much as I like Jordan Tymon as well too. I mean, what are we expecting here from the running game realistically?
I mean, look, I expect what maybe just a tad better than what they got last year, 15 for 43. Those kind of numbers are. If Toussaint averages more than 3 yards a carry, 3.5 yards a carry, it'll be a success for sure.
And then again, if you're having success kind of early on in the game, kind of a la the game a couple of weeks ago against the Baltimore Ravens, I think we learned as well, too. Yeah, I mean, as much as you like 6.7 yards per carry, you need to get Roethlisberger kind of in tune with this thing early. And additionally, I would like to see him get Martavis Bryant right off the bat, not a deep throw, but a quick slant or maybe a screen or something. I want to get Martavis Bryant's head in this thing right from the get go. We saw this past week that Roethlisberger challenged Martavis Bryant, and you know what? You know what we haven't really talked about much, David. Is I'm not sure if you saw the video on Steelers.com. I thought Martavis Bryant handled that fantastic.
I totally agree.
He smiled. He said all the right things. It didn't look like, man, you know, F-bomb him. Or, you know, it didn't look deep down inside that he was angry about it. It looked like he you're looking at a player that was challenged and willing and wanting to answer that challenge. Now, do I expect him to have, you know, 10 catches for 189 yards in this game? No, especially not against this defense. But what, you know, we've seen throughout this season that he can make these deep ball catches. But on the flip side, we've seen him not win some balls that quite honestly, probably would have made huge differences in some games, most notably the game against the Ravens a couple of weeks ago. And boy, even though the Steelers won it, the game against the Colts several weeks ago when the ball, you know, hit him right in the hands there. So you in my opinion, you want to get this guy off to a quick start. And, you know, Roethlisberger has got to spread this football around. You can't be forcing the ball to Antonio Brown, or else, you know, I think you're asking for problems.
Yeah, and we agree. Kind of got to show McCarron all sorts of looks, you know, give him different things, send different guys, different coverages, different schemes, come up and press occasionally. It's not going to be something they do regularly, but do it on occasion and you know, make him have to go to his first read, because he's getting pressure and you hit him a couple times early, and that can definitely have an impact on how the game changes.
And like you, you know, I think Eifert could play a huge role in this game, and I'm a huge Giovanni Bernard fan, and at times during this season, I haven't understood why they haven't used him more out of the backfield.
Well, look at the Steeler games. I mean, they didn't run him much, and when he did run, he was effective. So I'm with you. We talked about it after both games that I'm surprised I didn't see more Gio.
You know what? What are we talking about after this game? God forbid the Bengals win. Are we talking about, man, Giovanni Bernard had a combined 130 yards rushing and receiving, and Eifert had 80, and Eifert scored twice? You know, I think you could kind of paint a box score that way, couldn't you?
Well, it's going to be interesting if the Steelers, is it they lose this game because they scored 28 and the Bengals scored more, or did they lose this game because they scored 16 and turned it over three times? So, you know, those are the two ways that goes, right?
Yeah, boy, turnovers, what a big – and look, Ben has turned it over recently, right?
He has, and, you know, that's why I think the local media, including you in that group, I think, more concerned about the Steelers' chances here than the national media.
Yeah, I'm scared to death of this game, and it's partly because of what I've seen out of A.J. McCarron, Alex Smith-like at times. And if anybody has the blueprint on that has a good defense, it's Alex Smith. You just don't turn the football over, and you let your defense set up a short field once or twice for you. And, you know, Alex Smith can end the game with 179 yards and a passing touchdown and the running game punching one in as well too. You know, one thing about D'Angelo Williams too, should he not play, boy, the short yardage work he's done this year, right?
Been excellent. I mean, been excellent except for the one game Le'Veon Bell played and they went to him a couple times. What game was that? Very obviously early in the season when they were trying to figure out how to use D'Angelo. Maybe what was the game they lost in the first four? They lost to New England and they lost to
the Ravens.
Was that the game? I think it wasn't I think it was a day game. But anyway, you know, D'Angelo dropped that pass out of the backfield that could have potentially gone for a score, and it got stuffed on a fourth. And you know, they ran him.
Oh, that was Kansas City, wasn't it?
No, maybe it was Kansas City. Yeah, maybe it was Kansas City.
Yeah, because the Kansas City was the game he dropped that kind of pass over there on the right side.
Flat, yeah, and that was the game ran him four times short yardage. He only got two, and that's they were trying to figure out how to use him. Because I asked Mike after the game, see, your short yardage back, and he said he was last week. Well, obviously things changed, and Bell goes out for the year, and he has a different role. But yeah, in general, he's been excellent on that.
Well, here's the stats on that. Carried the football a total of 40 times when the Steelers' offense needed three or less yards for a first down or a touchdown, and 27 times those runs resulted in positive results. So 27 of 40 when needing three or less. Now, really excelled inside short yardage down near the opponent's goal line. 10 of his 15 carries from the three-yard line and in resulted in a touchdown. 10 of 15, that's strong.
Yeah, that's really good.
Now, here's the thing. We've yet to see Fitzgerald Toussaint have a short yardage carry, I don't think, this year. However, Todman, the more experienced of the two, has carried the football 11 times during his career in short yardage situations, nine of 11 have resulted in either a first down, eight of those, or a touchdown one. So is Todman your short yardage back?
No, I wouldn't think so. I'd be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if Todman gets a series, but I'd be surprised if he has a situational role.
And if you think Will Johnson might be using that role, he is 1 of 4 in those situations during his career with a touchdown and has only carried the football a total 7 times so far during his career.
Give me that one more time.
I said Will Johnson is 1 of 4 in those short yardage situations during his career with a touchdown.
They all happened in the New England game, didn't they? Or at least 3 of them.
A lot of them, yeah. A lot of them did. Yeah. And he's only carried the football a total of 7 times since coming into the league.
All right. So we got to – let's just – one of the things, Dave, we've seen here, let's just talk about defensive personnel and what we expect to see. We've seen Mike Tomlin kind of do some things. The defense has done some things differently over the last 6 weeks. Lawrence Timmons isn't playing in obvious passing situations. I'm all for it. It means Robert Golden's seen some action. And, you know, we haven't seen Golden make kind of egregious errors. It's, you know, Golden's played okay. We saw the first half, second half splits with the corners again in Blake and Cockrell. But we can, I think, say with some level of comfort now, probably for the first time all year, that Brandon Boykin's going to be the slot corner, but for almost all of the snaps. How do you expect the Steelers to mix and match? And are we going to see any Shamarco Thomas? Is Antoine Blake going to get the start? Let's start with those two questions.
Well, I think Blake will start. Get ready to have something soft to throw at the wall. But, especially when this game could come down to more runs, I think Mike Tomlin just trusts him a lot more bad tackling against the run, more so than he does on the outside than Ross Cockrell. So I think that's a slam dunk. I'll be surprised if that's different. Shamarco, I can't see where that helps you. I really don't. I mean, if he plays any snaps in this game, I think it's going to be because of injury. And let me flip it over to you with a question here. What are you doing inside next to Lawrence Timmons? Are you, especially in a game, depending on how the weather goes, where the opposition, where the Bengals are probably going to try to smash you in the mouth with the run and getting those interior offensive linemen off the snap and to the second level. Do you want Vince Williams in there? Or do you want Ryan Shazier in there?
I want Shazier in there, and I'll tell you what I'm going to do with Shazier. I am bringing not just the Fire X blitz. I'm bringing Shazier off the edge a couple times in this game. We saw him do it in Seattle where he actually ran a stunt and ended up coming inside, but we haven't seen him come a lot off the edge on the outside, and I'm going to bet that we see that in this game more than we've seen it all year. So that's one of the things I'd like to see some more of. But I am going to play to stop the run here, and particularly, you know, not let Jeremy Hill get untracked early. I don't know that I'd bring, you know, Will Allen down in the box all the time, but I'd certainly be showing it to him.
I would put Will Allen down there a ton in this game. He seems to have – you remember, what was it, the second meeting between these two teams last year? Will Allen, just a phenomenal game inside the box, I thought. Nice reads. I think he had two tackles, maybe 3 for loss, and blew up a blocker on another one. And this is, you know, if the conditions are what we think they're going to be in this game – you know, like we said, dating back really to Wednesday, I want AJ McCarron to beat me and beat the numbers. I really, really do. I want to see him. And if it means you bust me over the top, you know, for a 50-yard, you know, pitch and catch to AJ Green, you know, so be it. Keep making those throws, in my opinion. Let's not forget, and I want to stack. I'm with you as well, too, because the last thing you want is Jeremy Hill running downhill early in this game. This is a player that's had fumbling issues in the past as well, too. So circle that on your note sheet, listeners, and Alan Gifford, that Jeremy Hill has had fumbling issues during his career. And boy, with this possibly being a wet track, I want as many helmets on that football near the line of scrimmage as possible. I'm not so sure I'm scraping the linebackers you know, around against some runs, as far as that goes, because if that thing splits open like a watermelon right at the snap, you could talk about Jeremy Hill picking up 25 to 45 yards in a heartbeat there. So I'm playing in the box, David. I want us, like I said on Wednesday, if the Bengals win, I want most of the podcast on Monday for us to be, man, do you believe that game A.J. McCarron had?
We're on the same page on all of this stuff. I think after doing this 6 years and watching a lot of football and talking about it, we've got some of the same views on how this is going to go. I don't know if there's more to add about this game, Dave, and we got three others to talk about. You want to get into the other ones?
Yeah, what do you think? I mean, special teams advantage. I think maybe slightly favors the Bengals a little bit in this game, especially with Cedric Pierman. However, the Steelers, you know, got Ross Ventrone back on this roster now. I predict there's going to be a special teams turnover in this game. I'll go ahead and on record with that. And I'm going to predict that Jeremy Hill fumbles the football once as well, too. And let's start talking a little bit about the other games, because I think we beat this horse pretty good.
All right, Kansas City at Houston. That's a 4 o'clock game. By the way, I'll be on the air on DVE with the pregame show from 4 to 6:15. So while you're watching that game, you can have us on DVE. Look, these are two of the best defenses in the league right now, for sure. The matchups are kind of Nuke Hopkins against Sean Smith and
Marcus Peters
and the other Kansas City quarters. Let me start you with this question, Dave. Which quarterback do you like better, Alex Smith, who's probably really kind of built his reputation as a game manager, but probably is seen more favorably than he's ever been in his career right now, or Brian Hoyer, who I think has, you know, quietly done some good things? He's back from concussion, was okay in the last game. He can put up some yards, and he can throw it down the field, too. He's going to be a little bit more of a risk taker. Bill O'Brien's done a good job with some kind of unheralded quarterbacks in his time. Which quarterback do you like better?
Well, I think he had to go with Alex Smith just because of the longer track record. You know exactly what he is and what he isn't. And as long as the offensive line gives him a little bit of time and have any semblance of a running game, Kansas City just waits back and lets you make mistakes. They're an opportunistic kind of West Coast offense team. So, if forced to pick between the two, I'll take Alex Smith begrudgingly.
Whose defense do you like better?
Boy, if Holly and Houston are healthy, you got to like those guys because, you know, no disrespect to J.J. Watt and some of those guys on their front. I mean, let's face it. At times, their outside linebackers are kind of like the Steelers. They're just kind of non-existent, I think. We're talking about Houston. So I like the secondary of Barry and Peters and some of those guys back there. Not bad, you know, unheralded linebackers inside for the most part, but I think solid, as you know, we talk all the time, you know, get pressure on the quarterback, and if you got decent guys in the back end, you can survive a lot, and I think that's exactly what that defense is. So give me I like the Kansas City's defense over look, we've seen Houston give up some points this year, right?
We have, although they've been good lately.
So, you know, I would take the Kansas City defense, especially if Holly and Houston are healthy, which it looks like they're going to be for this game.
How does Kansas City move the ball? Is it, you know, this? I like Jamaal Charles as much as anybody. This running game has continued to be effective with Charcandrick West, and who's the other guy they have running back there?
Is it Ward?
Ware?
Ware, yeah.
They've been good. We know Kelsey's the real deal. You know, they've been able to move the ball better than I would have expected.
Yes. Ware has 72 carries for 403 yards and 6 touchdowns, David. Charcandrick West, 160, 634, 4 touchdowns. As a team, they are averaging 4.7 yards per carry this season. Now, where Houston, you know, if Houston can jump on them quickly, you know, and get Alex Smith and the Chiefs out of their game plan, this is a different story because we all know that, that Smith doesn't throw the football down the field a lot, and when he does, he's not very accurate with it as well, too. And Macklin has 8 touchdown receptions. Kelce has 5 this year, but you know, outside of that, and didn't they have what's the deal with D'Anthony Thomas? Is he out for? Did they put him on IR or do you remember?
Don't have
the
answer to that.
Did he just rule him out for that last? I know he's been banged up this year as well too. But I mean, you know, I think you got to like Kansas City in this game. You know, as long as they don't turn the football over, you really got to like their chances.
I will give you Kansas City as well, but I think in a low scoring game. They played the first week of the season, completely different type of matchup. The teams were different. That was 27-20 KC. But I'm with you. I like Kansas City. I'm just trying to pull up and see what the latest we have is in terms of
3.
Where Vegas is, because it's really right about where I like him in a game. It could be kind of 16-13 type of thing. So why don't I go this? I'll go Kansas City 17-13. So I'll take KC.
Wow. I think Kansas City will score more than that. I see this more like a 20-10 game. I think Houston's offense will just struggle. So give me Kansas City lay the points in this one.
All right.
20-10.
Seattle's a 5-point favorite going to Minnesota. And again, now these two teams played just a month ago. And Seattle beat the living daylights out of them 38-7. Dominated, they were able to stop Adrian Peterson. You take that away, make him one-dimensional with Teddy Bridgewater, and that's all you can ask for because, you know, Bridgewater's at best, you know, okay, serviceable quarterback, not a great quarterback. They don't have a lot of great weapons on the outside. We've talked about how good Russell Wilson has been. How about since week 10, his touchdown interception ratio is 24-1. I mean, that's just unbelievable. Doug Baldwin's emerged as kind of the real deal. They're not missing Jimmy Graham at all. They're going to get Marshawn Lynch back this week. The weather's going to be a huge factor. It's going to be, you know, below zero and wind chill like minus 25. So that can play into things. But, Dave, I mean, I don't want to undersell Minnesota's defense because it's good. But all indicators kind of point to a Seahawks win here.
Yeah, and it's going to be cold as a dickens as well, too. And you know, Teddy Bridgewater, you know, just the inexperience there. And, I mean, does Mike Wallace scare you in this game? I mean, I like, who is it, Diggs over there on the other side?
Yeah, Stephon Diggs. I mean, it's amazing. Like, you know, you don't even hear much about Mike Wallace.
You know, but really, out, you know, if they're able to shut down that run, you know, I'm concentrating all my efforts on making sure Adrian Peterson doesn't knife me with you know several explosive runs in this game, and Seattle's an experienced playoff team. unless they turn the football over, you know. And look, we've seen Russell Wilson get sacked a lot in the game and still come out of it okay, you know. So I don't see how this one's close this time around, to be honest with you, David. And especially if you're able to jump on Minnesota early and take Adrian Peterson out of this game. Maybe not as a big a blowout as some people think, but I think this is a 7-point Seattle win. I'm going to go 23-16 Seattle over Minnesota.
Yeah, for the Vikes to do it, I mean, maybe Jerick McKinnon comes in out of the backfield, catches some balls, Kyle Rudolph in the red zone. Those are kind of the things that they're going to have to be able to get those guys going, as well as Peterson. You know, the Vikings pass protection's not great for Seattle. You know, the one thing is when Seattle has the ball, Minnesota has a good defense, and we don't see or talk about the Vikings all that often, but you talk about some of the guys, particularly their young linebackers, Anthony Barr and Eric Kendricks, are really great players. Linval Joseph's a beast, and he could be disruptive in that line because, you know, Seattle's offensive line has played better, but certainly if you're going to point to a weakness, that's the weakness. You know, special teams are strong for both teams. But, yeah, I'm with you. Seattle, 4th straight season with the fewest points allowed in the league after a rough start to the season. Their offense is averaging 32 a game. I don't think it'll be quite as close as you two, Dave. You do, Dave. I'll go 27-13 for Seattle in this one.
And, Seattle, what are you showing?
5.
5?
5.
Yeah, Seattle. That's what I was showing to Seattle being favored by five. So we both, so far we have both two road teams winning, right? So let's move on to the other Sunday game.
And as you correctly predicted, it has gone back and forth, and we could have four favorites. But now what I'm seeing, the latest I'm seeing actually right now is Washington now still a 1-point favorite. I had heard last night it went to Green Bay, a point favorite. So it's gone back and forth, I guess, a little bit. Look, if you're picking Green Bay, you're picking Aaron Rodgers, and you're picking the best quarterback in the game and maybe one of the best ever when it's all said and done. But the loss of Jordy Nelson has been huge, and the poor offensive line play has really kind of manifested itself. Aaron Rodgers has not been particularly effective. Eddie Lacy has done very little over the second half of the season. Randall Cobb, you focus on Randall Cobb, and the rest of the guys can't really get open. It's not the Green Bay offense we're used to right now.
However, I mean, in your quarterback, especially one like Aaron Rodgers, you know, don't you expect him to win these type of games?
Well,
I mean,
that's what I say. If you're betting the Packers, you're betting Aaron Rodgers finding a way to do this.
I mean, and if he doesn't, what is this? I mean, it's not going to taint his legacy or anything, but, I mean, what does it kind of say about him?
So they got to overhaul that offense. They get Jordy Nelson back. They've got a different problem than the Steelers have in terms of what
– they don't have an offensive line.
They don't have an offensive line. They don't have good – they have the slowest receiver group in the league. Steelers have the fastest receiver group. This is the slowest group. And, you know, it shows. They can't get open. I mean, they're trying to get the ball James Jones. I don't know what to say about this offense because it shocks me every time I watch them play and they go out and in his last three games, Eddie Lacy has 36 carries for 117 yards in nine games this season. He had less than 50 yards. Hard to count on him to do much. What did they come in? They were 6-0 to start the season. I think they finished 10-6. So that's 4-6 the rest of the way. And they got that Hail Mary win against Detroit. If you've been watching the season, you'd pick Washington because Kirk Cousins has been great, Dave. I mean, are you buying Kirk Cousins at all?
I bought him coming out of college, but I think he's still at that. I think you still have to be wary for him to have one of those clunkers.
Last 10 games, you know? 23 touchdowns, 3 interceptions.
Right. He's due for a clunker. I like Cousins. Cousins is going to be around for a while now. I liked him. Coming out of, what was it, Michigan State, right?
Yep.
When you look at the Packers receiving, Cobb, I mean, 79 catches on the season. I mean, Jones has done some great things. Davante Adams, remember, people were raving about him coming out of college. 50 catches, only one TD so far. They're going to have to get more out of Eddie Lacy in this year. They're going to have to be able to run the football in order to take some pressure off that offensive line because, boy, if they don't spend a lot of picks on their off, a couple in the draft on their offensive line, they're in trouble because they even had Josh Sitton playing left tackle, and Josh Sitton is an all pro guard, but not an all pro tackle.
I think quietly Washington has some weapons. Everybody knows DeSean Jackson. He is a game changer. But the two guys people probably don't know are Jamison Crowder out of Duke, who's proven to be very good out of the slot. A guy I think we both like, Dave, coming out of college. And as a return guy as well. And then the guy who's had the big breakout is Jordan Reed, the tight end. And he has been a really good player for the Redskins. And if you haven't watched the Redskins play this year, which I'm sure a lot of people haven't, they can do some things offensively. I think they've got some talent. And if look, you ask me any week of the season who's going to win this game up until about 2 weeks ago, and I'm saying the Packers are going to win it and win it comfortably. But if you just take a look at what's happened on the field, and obviously that's what Vegas is doing by making the line what they're making it, but they're giving some concession to Rodgers. Washington's obviously played much better football. The question is, will Clay Matthews, Julius Peppers, Daniels, and those guys, will they get to the quarterback and make it miserable for Kirk Cousins? Because if they do, that's how they win the game and they keep Washington kind of under 20 points. Because I don't think Green Bay's putting up, 24 plus in this one, Dave. So give me the Skins. I hate, I can't believe it, but give me the Skins 23-20.
Boy, when you look at, how I love to track the adjusted net yards per pass attempt stat, David, and Washington, for all they've done this year, I think a lot of it needs to go to their offense more so than their defense. Their defensive NEA stat ended up at 7.01. That is the highest of all playoff teams, 7.01, even higher than the Steelers, if you can believe that. So, you know, technically, that stat tells you that this is not a great pass defense. So it'll all come down to, I think, whether or not they can get pressure on Aaron Rodgers. And as bad as Aaron Rodgers and that offense has been at times this year, the Packers defense hasn't played awful. I think you got to let yourself go with the quarterback in this game. And boy, if forced to choose between Cousins and Aaron Rodgers, I'm going to choose Aaron Rodgers. And I think they win this one in a relatively low scoring game by a field goal. I'm going to go Green Bay 19, Redskins 16. This probably comes down to maybe a last second kick.
All right, well, let's get to it then. Dave, I think if you had asked me on Wednesday or Thursday to pick the winner here, I might have picked Cincinnati. I'm going to go with some of the logic that you just used there, talking about the quarterbacks, and get over what I've seen from Ben the past 2 weeks and get past what I saw from McCarron when he played against the Steelers. I expect the Steelers defense to make it life a little bit more difficult for A.J. McCarron than it has been. He's been sacked and hit a bit, even with a good offensive line in front of him, which tells you one thing specifically, that he is trying to go through his progressions and he's willing to hold on to the football. Excuse me. And that's probably really good news for the Steelers if he does that. And if the Steelers can come up and dial up some exotics and do some things to get pressure on him, feel good about it. I'm going to bet, you know, I've said a couple times, Ben's never won a game in the playoffs where he's thrown for more than 275 yards. He's 0-3. I'm going to bet that that changes. And I'm going to bet that this is the end of this Bengals group, this core. They've got 19, I think, is the number of free agents who are going to, you know, hit the market, and, you know, including their two younger wide receivers, George Aloka, Andre Whitworth, a lot of talented guys. They're not all going to be back. And they're going to walk out of the stadium Saturday night thinking they missed a great opportunity. I'm going to give the Steelers the win here, 31-27.
Wow, you think that many points will be scored in this game, huh? Over under 40, what are you showing, 46.5 over under on this?
Yeah, about that, yeah. I think the Steelers are going to have to score more than 27 to win the game.
What are you showing the line on this, 2.5 now
three.
Or 3? David, I've gone kind of this game scares me, man. This is a good Bengals team. It really is. They finished the regular season with the best differential of any team in the league when it comes to the adjusted net yards per passing attempt. Their defense, wow, 4.93 adjusted net yards per attempt. Their offense, even without Andy Dalton, ended the season 7.71 in that area. This is a good Bengals team, and I think I think it still comes down to quarterback play. I think it comes down to experience, and I think the weather could play a little bit of a role in this as well too. I don't see this being as high a scoring as you do. I think turnovers, like I said, I think Jeremy Hill turns one over in this game. I think A.J. McCarron makes a bad decision in this game as well, too, and turns the football over. I think Martavis Bryant makes one huge play in this game that we might end up circling as well. The Steelers are good this season, winning percentage-wise, when Antonio Brown has 80 yards or more receiving. I think he just barely sneaks over that number in this game, with maybe one of those catches being something like a 30 yard or something after the catch. I guess why I'm pointing this thing up, David, is I don't have a lot of confidence in this one, but like I think I said on your radio show Wednesday, I think the Steelers come out of this one with a 22-20 win. And I've kind of predicted a late field goal all season, I think. I think Chris Boswell maybe tease one up here and gives the Steelers the win here, 22-20. And Boy, I would be foolish anyway with our listenership to kind of go against the Steelers in this one. I'd probably never hear the end of it if the Steelers won. I think they'll win. Do you think D'Angelo plays?
I've said all along yes, but I'll just say that was more hopeful when somebody like Jerry, who's there every day, tells me he doesn't think so on a Thursday. I gotta now believe the answer is no.
Give me a bold stat prediction. Some sort of bold prediction for the game Saturday night.
Marcus Wheaton, 8 on 120.
I was going to go something along those lines. I'm going to go Fitzgerald Toussaint, total yards, 100.
Wow, that would be that to me would signal the game winner. I don't think my stat guarantees a game winner. I think your stat may guarantee a game winner.
Oh, yeah, we have to go bold, right?
Yeah, all right.
Well, David, hopefully this isn't the last podcast.
Well, we were talking about this last Friday, right? You know, we probably had – which was more unlikely, what happened last weekend, or is probably more unlikely last weekend than the Steelers win this weekend, right? Not I mean, the combination of events ending the season.
I think I don't know. You're trying to confuse me here. I think there was a
30% chance everything went the Steelers' way last weekend, and there's at least a 50% chance this weekend it goes their way.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm with you there. Let's go over a few donations before we get out of here, David. Our buddy Eric Sorensen, Eric, longtime contributor of the show up there in Princeton. Can't say enough about Eric. Eric, thank you for another donation there. Andrew Pontano, that's a new name for us, I believe, sent in a donation yesterday. Thomas Unger, I think we got an email from Thomas as well, too. Thomas, we appreciate your donation to the show. I think we already hit on a few of these other ones. Gloria Burke, thank you for a donation as well, too. Folks, hopefully we'll be back on Monday talking about the Steelers playing the Denver Broncos in Denver against Peyton Manning. The Broncos have come out and said that Peyton Manning will be their quarterback in the playoffs. It'll be nice to have another week, David, of discussing playoffs football for the Steelers here. Folks, you can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. You can follow David on Twitter at David M. Todd. Follow the show at Terrible Podcast. Email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. If you want to donate, go to SteelersDepot.com and they black navigation bar up top. You'll see the donate button. We'll take you to PayPal. We appreciate all the support that we get to our show as well. It makes it possible to keep doing what we do. David, have a great pregame, and go Steelers.
As always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.